Take your Bibles, if you would, please, this evening, and I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. So you know, as you many weeks ago, we started talking about separation. We've talked about a lot of different aspects of separation. Tonight is lesson number 31, and somebody asked the other day, they said, "Preacher, how long do you think we'll talk about this subject?" I'm going to guess we'll get to at least 40 total lessons, maybe a few more. And so tonight in Exodus chapter 20, we'll have lesson number 31. And the lesson tonight, I'm entitling it, Separation from Adultery. Separation from Adultery. Exodus chapter 20, if you have found Exodus 20, would you stand with me real quick? Exodus chapter 20, and I'm going to start reading at verse number 12, and I'm going to read five or six verses out loud, and you can follow along silently. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12, it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Help us as we look in the Scripture, a topic that's not mentioned a whole lot, but is prominent, prevalent, sinfully in our generation. Help us tonight to learn something else about this subject of separation as it applies to the sin of adultery. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Exodus 20:14, we read it just a moment ago, it says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." I think most of you know Exodus 20. It's where we find the Ten Commandments. Now, never be confused. Some people think there's Ten Commandments and then there's the rest of the Bible. The Bible is full of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, yea, thousands of commandments. There happened to be ten that were right there together, and they were given in the Old Testament. But that's not we're not limited to those ten. Oh, but indeed, God did give us these ten, and they are big on God's list. And I wanted to point out to you, it's funny that in verse number 13 he said, "Thou shalt not kill," and you would say, "Wow, that's a big one." Notice right beside it, the next thing he says is, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And I think God would say, "Wow, that's a big one." They're listed right there, right beside each other. Now, I want to do this. I want you to take your Bible and turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 11. And we're going to read a story together from 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11, and I'm going to read out loud verses 1 through 5, and then I'll kind of retell the story just a little bit, but we're going to look at this this story about David. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 11, starting with verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. It came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, 'I am with child.' And David sent to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. We're going to stop right there. This is a story of David. This is a story where David commits adultery with a woman named Bathsheba. Bathsheba was married to a man by the name of Uriah. What had happened is David's men were out at war and he was at home. He went to his rooftop, and when he was on his rooftop, he looked out and Bathsheba was bathing herself. In other words, she was not clothed and she was bathing herself, and David looked at her. He lusted after her. Now he belonged to another woman and she belonged to another man. And he said, what I saw, I want. He had a servant go and get her. They had a physical relationship. And as a result of it, she ends up pregnant. David ends up having her husband, and I won't go into the whole story, but he virtually ends up having her husband killed. And boy, does he create a mess. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. That led him to many other sins. Because of that, he lies. He's guilty of treachery, disloyalty, murder, hatred. Oh, what a mess he created. Now, David did some great things in his life. But I wonder how much more he could have done if he wouldn't have fallen into the sin of adultery with Bathsheba. I don't think today people talk about adultery much anymore. You don't hear people preach against it. You don't hear much said about it. But you need to know, according to the Bible, it's still sin. We're gonna talk about it, and I'll probably say this again later. This week, we're going to talk about separation from the sin of adultery. Next week, we're going to talk about separation from the sin of fornication. They're not identical. They're a little different. They're both bad. They're both sin. They're both wrong. But tonight, the subject of adultery. Now, if I may, point number one, what is adultery? What is it? Take your Bible and turn to Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy 22. And we're going to look at verse, let's see, Deuteronomy 22:22, I think it is. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse number 22. And I'll read it to you. And the Bible says this: if a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall then shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman, and the woman, so shalt thou put away evil from Israel. Now, so you understand, I try when I teach things like this, because I have children in the room and some pure-minded teenagers, I'll try to present things in such a way that it's appropriate. But they all need to know, before two people are married, they're to keep their hands off of each other. And you come together in a physical relationship after you're married. And young people, so you understand, when two people walk down the aisle at a church to get married, you do a ceremony, and at the end, the pastor says to the man, you may now kiss the bride. Do you know why he said that? He said that because their lips are coming together. It is the beginning of the process of the consummation of the marriage. That's really how it was supposed to be. Now, I know there's some of you out there, you're shell-shocked. But God intended for men and women to keep their hands off of each other until they're married. And I know you say I'm old-fashioned, but I consider that a compliment. So, what is adultery? If a married man has a physical relationship with anyone, and in this day and age, I got to put it this way, anyone, man or woman, other than his wife, It's called adultery. If a married woman has a physical relationship with anyone, man or woman, other than her husband, it's adultery. Let me warn you, and I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on this, so you all know, I think that married people, every husband, you should be with your wife in an intimate way, and her only. And every married woman, you should be with your husband and him only in an intimate way. May I say, if you want to keep your marriage pure, I recommend that you do not start relationships that are inappropriate emotionally with somebody other than your husband or your wife, because emotional affairs will get out of hand and turn into physical affairs. And that's adultery. I'll say this because I've counseled, I've counseled thousands of marriages. I don't understand, especially Christians thinking, just because you are, as the world calls it, legally separated from your spouse, you are not released from your moral and biblical purity obligation. I'll meet Christians that say, well, my husband or my wife, we're still married, but we're separated. So for me to be with someone else, it's okay. That's a devil's lie. It's not okay. You're still under obligation morally to your mate. So if you're married to your husband or married to your wife, you got to keep your hands off of everybody else. But the government says we're legally separated. The government's full of pure prunes. I'd be careful trusting them with all your moral decisions. So, now, what is adultery? It's when a married man or a married woman steps outside the confines of marriage and has a physical relationship with somebody, man or woman. Now, next week, we're going to talk about the subject of fornication. The subject of fornication then includes unmarried people. So it may be that someone would say, well, I'm not married. So if I have a sexual relationship with somebody, it's not adultery. Well, it's fornication. It's the title that God gives to it when you're not married. But it's just as bad. And it's just as wrong. You say, why? Because God intended for you to be pure. And God's intent is that you go to the wedding altar virgin. If anybody ever mocks you or teases you about your desire to be virgin or pure or chaste or clean, they're wrong. You're right. And you're doing the good thing. Okay. So, first, what is adultery? And I've explained that. Secondly, the Bible makes it pretty clear that we should separate from adultery. I'm going to read some verses to you, and if you can keep up, I don't mind you turning, but I don't want you to miss the truth of the verses. We're to separate from adultery, and the Bible uses some pretty strong language about this. Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 10 is one of the verses that I'm going to read to you. Leviticus 20, verse 10, where the Bible says this. It says, let's see, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death. You understand, in the Old Testament, adultery was punishable by death. That's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big deal. So you can see God has, he uses very, very strong language about the sin of adultery, and we are to separate. One of the reasons, for instance, if a country has the possibility of the death sentence for misbehaviors, you know what that's all about? That's the country trying to get people to separate themselves from the sin that would bring death. So the country believes in separation. It's a part of what will make a nation function properly. So there's not total chaos. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 18 is another verse. We're to separate from adultery. And that's where it says very very clearly. Again, it's just a repeat of the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy 5:18 says, "Neither shalt thou commit adultery." And God is saying, separate yourself from adulterous behavior. Don't commit adultery. Now look at Leviticus chapter 18. Again, if you will, and look at verse number 20. Leviticus 18:20, it says this, "Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her." Now, God wants us to separate from anything that would defile us. God does not want us to commit adultery. God does not want us to do wrong. Galatians chapter 5, if you will, so we get a New Testament verse in here. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19. In Galatians 5:19, the Bible says this. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest," which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And there is a big, long list of sins. But notice, there's those two words, this week's title, adultery, next week's title for the sermon, fornication. And so, God is saying it's a work of the flesh. What does that mean? If something is the work of the flesh, it is the opposite of the work of the Spirit. So, you and I, we are to be led of the Spirit. We are not to be led of our flesh. And it doesn't take much for a mature teenager or adult to understand adultery is a work of the flesh. Okay, so number one, what is adultery? It's when a married man or a married woman has a physical sexual relationship with somebody other than their mate. We are commanded, number two, to separate from adultery. Now, number three, what is the cost for committing adultery? What could that cost you? What could happen? Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 5. We'll spend a moment here in this passage of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 5. We're going to read there's a passage here, and it starts in verse number 3. We're going to read all the way down through verse number 14, Proverbs chapter 5, starting with verse number 3. Again, we're going to read through verse number 14, and this is talking about inappropriate physical relationship between people. And we're going to see, and remember, point number three is, what is the cost? What will it cost you? What will come upon you if you are guilty of committing adultery? Okay, Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 3, it says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb. Her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Let strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly." Now, if you look back at me, this is point three, the cost of committing adultery. I do want you to notice something in verse number 8. In Proverbs 5:8, it says, "Remove thy way far from her." This is a command that is given to a man that he should not be messing around with some woman. And the scripture says, "Remove thy way far from her." Here's what you do. If you don't want to misbehave sexually, remove yourself far from the temptations that would bring it on. Look, you're not going to dabble and talk bad things with somebody you're not married to without eventually falling into doing the bad things. It says, remove thy way far from her. That's separation. That's separation. Now, I'm going to then show you something. Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 10. This whole passage of scripture that we just read, it's talking about the warning of a man to not have a physical relationship with a woman that he's not married to. And there is a lot of teaching that God is doing about what will happen if that man is with that woman. Verse 10, it says, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. You say, what is that? If you commit adultery, it will cost you money. It's going to cost you money. You say, how so? Well, you commit adultery and your mate divorces you. It's going to cost you. They may take you to the cleaners. But not only that, it'll cost you. So what's going to happen? I don't know. I just know that if God said to me, Jeff, if you do that, I'm taking money from you. I know how much I like money. I don't think I want to do what's going to cause me to lose money. I believe there are people in our society that commit adultery, and because of it, they have a mess of their finances. Just because I believe the Bible. It says if you are immoral, you strangers will be filled with thy wealth. And it says, and thy labors that be in the house of a stranger. In other words, somebody else is going to end up with your money, and you're going to labor, but you can't get ahead. Why? Because God will not reward you if you're guilty of this immorality. God says there is a punishment that goes along with it. Now, I really don't think that that you ought to be examining someone else and you just take care of yourself. But the whole teaching tonight is that we are to separate from adultery. We're to stay away from it. Remove ourselves far from it, as the scripture teaches. Why? It'll cost you wealth. It'll cost you your money. And you say, well, why does God start there? Well, I think one of the reasons why God starts there is because money means so much to people. I think he starts there by thinking, yeah, I know, money means a lot of people. Money's everything to them. Everything to them. Well, maybe if I warn them, I'll take their money if they are immoral. Then maybe they won't be immoral. Now, you ought to be moral because you love God, and you ought not to commit adultery because you love God. But if God can't get your attention out of your love and compassion or love and passion for Him, maybe He could get your attention by saying you will be financially penalized if you tamper with immoralities. And you will. And you will. So, what is the cost of committing adultery? Well, you could lose your wealth. Now look at Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 11. The Bible says, this is more result of the immorality, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. First of all, you'd lose your wealth. Now it's talking about losing your health. You can lose your health as a result of immorality. And there are some obvious things. For instance, you go out sleeping around and you end up with a disease, you'll be sorry. You say, well, I don't know, the one I'm sleeping with is clean. If they were clean, they wouldn't be with you. You say, you mean that? Absolutely, I mean that. Why would they be messing around with somebody they're not married to? That's not clean. Well, we're pretty good adulterers. Yeah, I've heard it all, by the way. I've been counseling and helping marriages for a long time. I handpicked the one I was with. The devil handpicked the one you were with. The devil did that. Had you convinced you knew what you were doing when you picked someone to commit adultery with. By the way, I don't know if anybody in our congregations commit adultery. I just love teaching like this. It'll cost you your wealth. According to this, it will cost you your health. And you know, earlier when I said it'll cost you your wealth, and I said, look, if you commit adultery and you know your spouse comes after you and you end up losing in court all your money, that's a loss. Now, I just said you could lose your health. You could end up with a disease. But not only that, It may just be that when people repetitively are immoral, that God withholds from them health. And that's God's prerogative. God's always right. God's always good. God's always holy. Okay, so what's the cost of committing adultery? It could cost you your wealth. It could cost you your health, physical health. Now look at Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 11, and let's read. I'll start at verse number 11. The Bible says, And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. Now, I think this is another impact that the immorality of adultery could have on a person, the loss of your wealth, the loss of your physical health. And to me, there is a loss of, I'm going to call it mental health here. Did you notice he used the word mourn there. What's mourning? Mourning is it's almost a depression. Mourning is almost a grief. Now, I'll guarantee you commit immorality, you will grieve in one way or another. You will suffer some mental suppression over your misbehavior. You say, well, there are people out there just living it up, doing their thing. They're not as happy as what they're giving you the impression. Because if they were, why would they keep on running to their drugs and alcohol and everything else? But it talks about there's a grief that goes along with it. In other words, God promises you're not going to stay happy just because you got your physical thrill for a moment. That's coming after you mentally. You say, how? I don't know. But if God said it, it's going to happen. I've really never met anybody that committed adultery that got out of it or would walk away from it saying, whoa, that was really good. I have no remorse. Never seen that. Never seen that at all. But notice it also there in verse number 12, it says, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teacher, nor inclined mine ear. Can I tell you something? This person here that is now guilty of the immorality, they're losing their wealth, they're losing their health, and now they've lost an element of spiritual logic. They're not listening to their teachers. They're not listening to their instruction. And let me warn everybody in here, you go dabbling with the opposite sex and you go thinking you can flirt with it. It is more powerful than you. And you will find yourself reaching over a fence that you should have never even been walking alongside. It'll suck you in and take you for everything you're worth. Because David was a great Christian that fell into the mess. And I've seen some great people fall into moral messes because they thought they could mess around, but they didn't plan on stepping over the line. The line's more powerful than you think. That's why God said, run, run, run. Get yourself far away from it. But here, somebody's got damaged thinking. Let me read it to you again. This is talking about the fallout from immorality. And someone's saying in verse 12, how have I hated instruction? And my heart despised reproof, and not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. Somebody's got damaged thinking. Now, you live in immorality, and especially when you know better, you will destroy your thinking capacity. You will destroy your spiritual logic. You are going to end up with hatred in your heart, and I'll tell you what else. You'll end up with some mental self-torment. Because really, you know better. If you do wrong, it could cost you your mental health. I've done enough counseling to know a lot of people, that especially Christians that commit adultery, become suicidal in their thinking. That's wrong. Let me tell you all something. Keep yourself morally clean. Because immoralities can lead to self-destructive ideas. Okay, so you could lose your wealth, you could lose your health, you could lose your mental health. Now look at Proverbs 5:14. Proverbs 5:14, we go on with some of the fallout from the immorality. God said to a man, stay away from that woman. She's bad news. You're going to lose your health. You're going to lose your physical health. You can lose your mental health. You can lose that money. Now in verse 14, it says, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and the assembly. That could be interpreted a handful of ways, but I think it is saying I messed up my reputation. The congregation seen the evil of my behavior, and it surely was not good for my self-worth and my reputation. Young people, let me recommend something to you. Don't get a reputation for being loose. You'll regret that. But understand something. If you're married and you commit adultery, you've hurt your reputation. But what about your spouse's reputation? And I'll tell you, it's not fair. It's not fair, but our world's not fair. You can hurt your children. Parents do stupid things and get themselves a bad name, and it's sad. But kids have to deal with the junk that goes along with it. So it can cost you your wealth. It can cost you your physical health. It can cost you your mental health. It can cost you your reputation. And obviously then it could cost you your marriage. So the sermon, lesson 31, separation from adultery. What is adultery? It's when a man or a woman has a physical relationship with somebody other than their spouse. We are commanded by God in verse after verse after verse to separate ourselves far from that behavior. What is the cost of adultery? The loss of wealth, the loss of physical health, the loss of mental health, the loss of reputation, and the loss of a relationship. Now, what is God's desire then for your marriage? Okay. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Hebrews 13, 4. This is point number 4, God's desire for your marriage. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4, the Bible says this, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers will God will judge. Well, let's start out. God said marriage is honorable. Do you know what God wants? God wants your marriage to be honorable. Honorable. Now, if you go to the courthouse, there's a judge there, and they usually address him as the Honorable Joe Smith. There's a respect that goes along with it. The Bible's teaching that our marriages should be respectable, especially Christians. Especially Christians. Be honorable in your marriage. Have respect for God's intent for marriage. Have respect for the topic of marriage. It's no wonder our nation is in such chaos. Look at the results of immorality that I just taught you from Proverbs chapter 5. Those results are a plague across our country because the prediction of the fallout from immorality that the Bible makes is coming true in our country because of all the immorality in our country. But what is God's desire for marriage? That it be honorable. Now, take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 18. Proverbs 5, verse 18. We're talking about what is God's intent, what is God's desire for our marriage. Proverbs 5, 18, it says this, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. All right? So God wants our marriages to be honorable. Then God wants our marriages to be happy. Notice he said, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. So God wants you to be honorable. Respect one another. Respect the topic of marriage. Respect what he says in the Bible about marriage. Then he said, I would like for you to rejoice with the wife of your youth. He's saying, I want you to be happy. I want you to experience joy. So let me explain. God commands that you be happily married. And you ought to just obey God and do it. Because some of you, you're not. You're married, but you're not happy. You're supposed to be happy. I guess you need to figure it out, don't you? Well, you're in disobedience to God. And no wonder God put right there in the Bible. He said, thou shalt not kill. We all say, whew, that's a big one. He said, thou shalt not commit adultery. What does he want? He wants you to commit adultery. He wants you to be happy. You're supposed to be. You're not to endure. You're to enjoy. Hey, God's not doing that to you. He's doing that for you. And He's already done His part. You got to do yours. Okay, let's move on. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4. Another verse I want you to see. We read it once, but we're going to read it again. What is God's desire for our marriage? We know He said separate from adultery. Now, what we're going to separate unto honorable, happy. Now, look at Hebrews 13, 4. It says marriage is honorable. We've seen that in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Notice it says, and the bed undefiled. God does not want your marriage defiled. You understand when you have physical relationship outside your marriage, God considers that defilement. Defiled. It's you're putting something nasty that should never be a part of your marriage. It shouldn't be in there. Okay, let's look at one other thing. Take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse number 24. And we got to hurry. You got to think faster. When I look out and I look at you, I can't tell if your brain's plugged in or not. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 24. The Bible says this: therefore shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is God in the beginning talking about the relationship of marriage, and He says that a man and wife, they leave their parents, and they cleave to one another. And here is God in His own way describing the thing called loyalty. He's saying men ought to be loyal to their wives, and wives ought to be loyal to their men. Now, never are you to be loyal to anybody above your loyalty to Jesus Christ, and never are you to be loyal to anybody above your commitment to the Word of God. But I'll tell you what, next on the totem pole, men and women are to be loyal to one another. And He said, you are to leave mom and dad and cleave to one another. So what's God saying? He said, I want your marriage to be honorable. He's talking about respectable. Respect one another. Respect marriage. He said, I command you to be happy. Figure it out. Be undefiled. Don't do anything that tampers with that happiness and that respect. Be loyal. Be committed to one another. Now, we're almost done, but stay with me. I said, number one, I explained what adultery is. I said, number two, the Bible clearly commands we're to separate from it. I said, number three, there is a cost. There's a result. There are results that come because of adultery. I said, number four, I explained what God wanted us to be in marriage opposed to adultery. Number five, there are a lot of ways to separate from adultery. For instance, I'd separate from adultery in regard to your music. Any music that promotes immorality then tends to work on your marriage. Rock music does not promote morality. Country music does not promote morality. Rap music does not promote morality. Those are the musics of immorality. Rock and roll, the term, is a sexual expression. We're rocking and rolling. So if you want to practice separation from adultery, I wouldn't be listening to music that promotes immorality. I wouldn't be reading things that promote immorality. Look, you read the romance novels that have people committing immorality and entertain your mind with it, you're getting yourself a step closer to not only thinking it, but doing it. By the way, you're not even to think it. You're not even thinking it. The Bible talks about if a man look on a woman and lust after her in his heart, he's committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now, somebody said to me one time, said, well, I look, I might as well go ahead and have. That's stupid. So you think that because you thought about shooting someone, you might as well just go ahead and do it? They are different, but they are both bad. God said one will lead to the other, but ways to separate. How can you separate from adultery? Separate from it in your music. Separate it from it in your reading. Separate from it in your mind.
Yes, sir.
Men or women, don't be looking at people sexually, except for your mate. And be good if some of you'd start looking at them that way. But if you can't look at a woman without lusting after her, then don't look. But separate in your mind. So separate in your music, separate in your reading, separate in your mind. May I recommend that you separate on social media? Words, pictures. There is no reason in the world why anybody in here needs to be sending pictures of any of your body parts to anybody. It'll help you to stay moral. Plus, it'll help people not to end up with it that shouldn't have it. Well, I deleted it. You knucklehead. Separate in your life. Separate in your friendships. I think that if you know somebody that's committing adultery, I think you should love them from a distance. Separate on what you watch on television. I recommend premarital purity and after marriage purity. I'm going to throw one more verse in here and I'm done. God offers forgiveness for moral mistakes, moral sins. Boy, can you not be glad for that? Psalm 103, starting with verse number 1, the Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities." If you make a mistake morally, God can forgive you. That does not mean that you won't reap what you have sown. Now, I think the more sincere and the quicker someone confesses their sin and gets away from it, you can minimize the reaping process, but you will not eliminate the reaping process. But God is a forgiving God. I've been preaching for a real long time. I started preaching when I was a 16-year-old boy. I began to realize that as you would preach purity, there were some people that were not taught purity. There were some people that didn't grow up around purity. There are some people, when they heard me say, "You're to be clean and virgin," they heard it for the first time and they were 20 years of age. They'd already made mistakes. They would come virtually depressed and say, "Preacher, I wasn't raised like that, and I was never really taught that sort of stuff. And I'm not pure. What do I do?" And I would say to them, "You be pure from here on out, because now you know."
Amen.
Now you know. And God's a forgiving God. And I want us all to know that if you make mistakes morally, your God will forgive you. But if you go into it saying, "I'm about to do this, but I know God will forgive me when I'm done," you're messing with fire. Because the Bible says, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" What that's saying is, if you go walking around all the time saying, "Well, I can do what I want because I've got the security of the believer," God said, "I have a way of getting your attention." That doesn't mean you'll lose your salvation. He doesn't take your salvation away, but boy, He can take everything else. Your money, your health, your mind. I got to tell you, I counsel people that are immoral. You wouldn't believe the stupid logic. It's always somebody else's fault. It's just crazy. You'll lose your mind. You'll lose your reputation. You'll lose the primary relationships in life. So, God is a forgiving God. And I do not know, and I don't think there's one person in my midst that I'm teaching this evening that's being immoral, but I will give you a warning. If you are, you better stop, especially after hearing a lesson like this. If you walk away and say, "Well, I'm an exception," you're already mentally broken.
Yes, sir.
You are already facing the consequences of your behavior. And you say, well, nobody's ever died from that. Lots of people have died from that. And you say, well, not anymore, as much today as ever. So, lesson number 31, separation from adultery. I'll be extremely popular on the internet for the next 3 weeks for this lesson. But it's still in the Bible. And I believe that God still wants you and I to be clean, pure, and decent people. You say, Pastor, I've made mistakes. Let's let them be in the past. Here's what you do. Be pure from here on out. That's all anybody could do. And that's all that anybody could require. Let's be pure from here on out. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've learned a truth that is a part of the Ten Commandments. You've learned a truth that, though is ignored by most preaching and most in society, it's still the truth of the Bible. Let's be cautious. Let's separate from adultery and those things that bring adultery into our realm, or us into the realm of adultery.